COVID-19 is on the rise across the world. Experts have already sounded the alarm. Keep your distance. The threat of a second wave is real. However, more and more such warnings are falling on deaf ears. On the African continent, South Africa has become the epicenter of the virus. In fact, as of today, South Africa has more than 485,000 confirmed cases and close to 8,000 deaths. Because of perceived complacency, a ban on the sale of alcohol has been reimposed. Elsewhere in Uganda, some people believe coronavirus is a myth and a Western invention. Welcome to COVID-19 Special Podcast. My name is Isaac Mugabe, in Bonn. Good to have you with us. Hanging out with friends and partying in crowds, all that despite COVID-19, young people just want to have fun. They are not taking the threat of the coronavirus seriously. After all, they are young, healthy, and strong. In parts of Africa, police every night, especially during the weekends, have to do night patrols to break up illegal house parties and celebrations. Here in Europe, thousands have been gathering at rave parties in parks. The police break up one party and another one pops up elsewhere. Will party revelers be responsible for the second wave? I spoke to Fabian Schmidt from DW Science Department on the new wave of coronavirus infections due to this kind of recklessness.
Basically, to put it in a nutshell, if you're looking at the global figures, it looks very bad, really. I mean, the curve of new infections that are confirmed, we're only talking about confirmed infections, not the dark figures. I mean, the ones that we don't know. But the confirmed figures are still showing a curve that goes straight up. And we are now well above the 17 million figure worldwide. And if the curve continues like that, which it likely will be, we're going to reach 20 million within probably even before the middle of August. So it's going to keep going up. I think most of the countries that have more difficulties dealing with it because they don't have such a good infrastructure, India, South Africa, Brazil, we know for a long time has had very serious problems. The danger is there. And if we think that we are now safe because we've had the worst behind us, it's not true. The worst is still, I think, ahead of us.
You recently wrote an opinion or piece for DW, and it has a captivating title that, you know, made me wonder and sit down and think, you know, deeply about what is happening. The title was, "Don't Take Unnecessary Risks. A Second Coronavirus Wave is Definitely Coming."
Yeah, that's a point. And I would simply say, basically, the recommendation should be to everybody, regardless of where living in the world, be aware, don't go to too large events.
Which is quite a little bit difficult, especially for the young people. In Africa, we have those that are making house parties because they can't go out in disco, dance, or the rave parties. And even here in Europe, I think it's becoming a nightmare for many observers, you know, out there. And do you sympathize with those partygoers, or they are completely irresponsible?
To some extent, I can sympathize with them because, I mean, it's part of you that you want to do that. However, I think these are very special circumstances, and it's a question of general responsibility towards the society that one really should step back a little bit. I mean, is it really necessary to go to parties with thousands of people? I don't think so.
Fabian, where does this leave the rest of society? I mean, like those who do everything within their power to keep the pandemic under control, even if it means sacrificing some of their personal freedoms. And on the other hand, we have those who say coronavirus is a myth.
There is a problem, of course, with this. If one turns it into a political issue, like we've seen happen in some countries, I'm thinking about America, where basically it has become a kind of political fight on Brazil. What is not helpful is if people are fighting over the essence in an ideological way, because basically the virus is there. And certainly it is dangerous. There are lots of other problems that one has to face at the same time, and one has to have a weighed approach. With all this, one simply has to accept the facts. Yes, it is there. Yes, it is dangerous. We know that the effects of this disease can be long-term effects, even on healthy young people. It's not just old people.
Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, South Africa is the epicenter of the virus on the African continent. Last week, President Cyril Ramaphosa said schools need not become sites of transmission at a time when the country's coronavirus infections are rising at one of the fastest rates in the world.
As of this evening, the total number of confirmed cases now stands at 408,052. South Africa now has the fifth highest number of confirmed corona cases in the whole world and currently accounts for half of all the cases on our beloved continent, Africa. The next few weeks will put our resources and resolve to the test as never before. And I call on all South Africans to remain strong.
But a continued ban on alcohol sales in South Africa has left tavern owners, wine farms, and revelers in a difficult situation. The government had lifted the ban but soon reimposed it, arguing that alcohol was overburdening the health system through alcohol-induced traumas, injuries, and incidents. However, as Tuzo Kumalo reports from Johannesburg, tavern owners and beer drinkers are bearing the brunt.
For non-beer drinkers, alcohol is a luxury that can wait until a vaccine is found for COVID-19. However, for tavern owners and some community members in townships, it's a matter of life and death. In many cases, the owners are unemployed and unemployable women who have turned their homes into drinking spots to put food on the table. Nongedo Mbicha from the Eastern Cape is one of those whose jobs have been eaten up by the ban.
We don't know where to go. We don't have jobs now, and we feel like they are chasing us like that. And we have got parents. We are having flats that we're renting, no groceries, and also our kids. So it's very bad. We don't know what to do.
Tavern revelers are angry too. Some have resorted to breaking into liquor stores in townships just to quench their thirst. Mxolisi Twala in Johannesburg says nothing can replace the tavern drinking vibe.
When I go to a tavern, like I play pool and I socialize with my friends, but now none of that is happening. So I miss that social experience because now you end up being home and then you get depressed because you're always in the house not knowing what to do with yourself. So if the beer comes back, yes, great, but mainly it's about the lack of economic activity around the townships.
However, the government insists that it's not yet time to lift the ban.
Tuzo Kumalo with that report. In Uganda, strict measures, a young population, and less international travel have been suggested as reasons for the country's relatively low numbers of coronavirus so far. But the biggest worry is now complacency among the youth. Some told our correspondent in the capital, Kampala, that's Michael Wambi, that they don't believe that there is a virus, and that's why they don't wear masks.
The health minister in Uganda, Dr. Ruth Aceng, in a televised address, said the fact that the country is beginning to register deaths to COVID-19 is a wake-up call to those that believe COVID-19 is not real.
Continuing your activities as usual without wearing a mask and no social distancing is extremely harmful to your life. COVID-19 is real, it's dangerous, and it kills, as we have started to see in Uganda.
Researchers at Makerere University began investigations to find out why Ugandans are seemingly not scared of COVID-19 virus like they used to in the beginning. Nelson Sewankambo is a professor of internal medicine and a clinical epidemiologist behind the research.
Trust has gone down, I think, for several reasons. Number one on top is because people have not really been engaged in understanding. When they gave us lockdown for 2 weeks initially, and people thought, oh, this is going 2 weeks, is okay. After 2 weeks, we'll go back to work. And when it was extended, misunderstanding started. This is just being extended for people to make money.
Out of Makerere, come with me to the streets of Kampala. My first stop is at a big shopping mall where a security guard is struggling to enforce face masks, social distancing, and hand washing.
Where I'm standing, a gentleman here is trying to enforce the standard operating procedures. But sounds not easy. Everybody who is coming in has to be forced to put on the mask.
You force them that there's no COVID. That's what they say. You force them. Yes. If you don't force, they don't. So I don't know really how we can make it, but we'll try our best.
Emma Komakech is one of those that have been denied entry to this mall because he has no mask.
The thing is not so much like in other countries, so there's no need for me to be putting on it every time.
Almost everyone here does not have a face mask on. There is not any form of social distancing. With my face mask on, I look like an outcast here.
Many thanks, Michael Wambi.
Ali Ipupa Dikapla Merveille. Tout le monde danse ce soir, c'est la folie. Ah, la folie, la folie. Tout le monde danse ce soir, y'a des chéris. Ah, mes chéris sont jolis. Ce soir, on s'arrête pas. Ce soir, on ne compte pas. Ce soir, on s'arrête pas. Ce soir, on ne compte pas. Fait d'artifice comme les fêtards. Toucher du soleil, il se fait tard. Étoile d'Afrique comme Didier Drogba. La vie, c'est maintenant, demain, c'est trop tard. La vie d'Opala, 5 étoiles, les grands restos, ma chérie, je lui donne plus que ça. Les voitures en pagaille, en voyage à Monaco, ma chérie, je lui donne plus que ça. Habibi coûte cher, mais tout le monde l'en veut. DJ met la boîte en l'envers. Tout le monde danse, ce soir, c'est la folie. Oh, la folie, la folie.
Now, to understand why youngsters or the youth no longer fear coronavirus and will do whatever it takes to party, one has to analyze what triggers their mind to do so. For more, I'm now joined by Florian Kutzner. He's an assistant professor of social psychology at the University of Heidelberg, who says more transparency is needed to communicate the risks.
If you want cooperation on altruistic behaviors, you need trust as a policymaker. And trust originates in one thing from being perceived as benevolent. That means I understand what you need, what your needs are. And the needs of youngsters, I think, are particularly underrepresented in the public discourse. That ranges from a decline of COVID restriction costs, sexual activity, a decline in sporting, organized sporting events, the inability to celebrate degrees from university, to travel. It is a particular frustration with policymakers that they don't take their cause seriously. Well, I mean, we tend to think that the behavior we observe is what people are and what they really desire. But, I mean, if you widen the street, people will speed up. And if you increase plate sizes, people will eat more. And if you open party locations, people will party. It's cynic to ask them not to do so if they have the room to do so.
Florian Kutzner, Assistant Professor of Social Psychology at the University of Heidelberg here in Germany. That was DW Africa Link's special podcast on the coronavirus. A big thank you to Tuzo Kumalo in Johannesburg, Wambi Michael from Uganda, and my colleague Fabian Schmidt from the Science Department, who contributed to this show. On behalf of the entire production team, thanks for listening and enjoy a splendid weekend. Maria Valencia! Mi so mi che mi